It's 6 o'clock. I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have with us tonight Townsend, Wade, Atkins, Benning, Elliott, and Miller. There is no public here, and we have a presentation by Olivia.
Hi guys, my name is Olivia Ziegler and I'm a planning intern with the Neighborhood and Development Services Department. Today I am presenting the 2025 Residential Development Analysis. So every year the City of Iowa City analyzes local data to identify development patterns and track recent and longer term trends. The goal is to provide accurate information that can inform land use and planning decision making processes. One of the fundamental aspects of planning is accommodating the growth of the community. Where a demand for housing goes unmet, the city may see impacts to its population growth and the growth of surrounding communities. Some important definitions to remember as we go through this report are listed here. First, we have residential development, which is the process by which land is prepared for new dwellings, either as new construction on vacant land or redevelopment on land that was previously developed. Next is final plats, which permanently delineates lots and other features pertinent to the transfer of property. Building permits are the final administrative approval of building plans to allow construction. In terms of residential developments, single family is one principal dwelling unit on a lot and can be detached or attached. Next is duplexes, which is two principal units on a lot, and multifamily is three or more principal dwelling units on a lot, regardless of ownership structure or any units in a mixed-use building. And lastly, an accessory dwelling unit, commonly referred to as an ADU, is one accessory dwelling unit on one lot with another principal residential use. So some takeaways from this year's report include subdivision activity in 2025 dropping well below average with sharp declines across all housing types, especially single family lots, which fell 93% below the 5-year average as no new single family lots were platted. Single family permits in 2025 fell 32% below the 5-year trend. Total permits were less than half of the 10-year average, with single family detached falling significantly. Considering recent building permit trends and vacant lots, the city has a 3-year supply of single-family lots. However, many of these vacant lots have been vacant for decades and haven't been developed because they are constrained in some way. Additionally, if permit activity picks back up to more normal levels in the future, the 3-year supply will diminish quickly. So in past reports, the city has used 2030 projections, typically from the MPO. However, this year, the city has updated the horizon year to 2050 and utilized projections provided from the comprehensive plan update. So recent permit trends since around 2021 suggest that the city will see 7,850 units developed between 2025 and 2050. This accommodates 86% of the housing demand, leaving a deficit of 1,250 units. This is an increase from the 2024 report, where only 68% of the housing demand was satisfied when using the previous projections of 2030. So per the upcoming 2050 Iowa City Comprehensive Plan, Iowa City's population is expected to reach approximately 94,724 residents by 2050. This suggests a demand for 9,098 new dwelling units within that time frame, which equals to approximately 364 units per year. So one of the first things we look at when it comes to analyzing residential development is the final plat activity. So final plats are a leading indicator for the anticipated number of single family and duplex dwelling units that will be developed. To a lesser extent, it can foreshadow the development of multifamily dwellings. Based on the size of the lots, preliminary plans for developers, and zoning districts, we can anticipate how many units will be developed based on how many lots are created through plat approvals. In 2025, 3 residential final plats were approved by council. Of the residential plats, Western Home GPD2 and Scarlet Point Subdivision were the only ones to yield any units, resulting in a total of 95 multifamily units created. Coal Hill is a subdivision that was created, but it only created one lot to accommodate an existing single-family home and did not result in any additional units. This chart provides a deeper insight into the anticipated lots in terms of platting with exact numbers. So throughout the years, one can see that the single family lot creation has hit a low compared to historic trends, with no single family lots created in 2025. This is shown by the decline of the yellow bars present on the chart starting in 2024. So over the past 10 years, the average is 240 units added per year, and the five-year average is 208 units. However, they're well below that in 2025, with only 95 units to be added based on lots platted. This map shows where those plats are taking place. Over here, I don't think I have a pointer.
Can I do something?
Yeah. Now I have a pointer. So over here we have Western Homes GPD Plat 2, which added 11 multifamily units. The original plat for this site was approved in 2024, I believe, and contained around 133 multifamily units for a 55 and older community. These units also ranged from detached single family style homes to condos and townhomes. Skilled nursing facilities and memory care units are also included in this count. And then next we have Scarlet Point Subdivision, which added 84 multifamily units. And then Coal Hill is the subdivision that I mentioned created only one lot to accommodate an existing single family home and did not yield any additional residential units. And then lastly, Iowa City Campus Industrial Campus Part 2 is a commercial subdivision platted in 2025, and therefore no new dwellings are anticipated. Oh gosh, okay, there we go. So in addition to final plats, we also look at building and demolition permits for insights on development progress. So the issuance of a building permit is the final administrative approval of building plans to allow new construction. It is the last step of the residential development process and provides a basis for how many new dwellings are expected in the near future. In 2025, 177 units were permitted, which is well below both the 5 and 10 year averages of 316 and 438 units, which is displayed by the dotted lines here in the chart. When considering unit types, the total number of accessory dwelling units permitted this year exceeded 5 and 10-year trends, and additionally, duplex permits exceeded 5 and 10-year trends of respectively 8 and 7 per year, or over those time frames. However, both multifamily and single-family detached fell below their 5 and 10-year averages, with multifamily's 5-year being 220 and 10-year being 325, single-family for 5 years, 86, and the 10-year average is 101 units. So moving on, demolition permits are a type of building permit that allows the removal of a structure. When combined with the building permits issued, these permits indicate the total anticipated change in dwellings. In 2025, 3 single-family detached units were demolished. This is lower than the 5 and 10-year averages for that type of demolition, and significantly lower than the total 10 and 5-year averages for demolitions of 36 and 33 units demolished. Combined with the 177 building permits issued, the 2025 net change in units is 174 units added. So here's a map showing where those building permits are being issued and where the demolitions are occurring. Much of the building permit activity is happening at newer subdivision sites that have been platted in previous years and are near city limits. And then in terms of demolitions this year on the map, there's no exact cluster of them as they're kind of minimal and spaced out. Some reasons for the demos include a house fire and a clearing the last building on a now vacant lot along Prairie Duchene up here. So we also like to look closely at the permit activity in the University Impact Area, also referred to as the UIA. This university impact area includes residential neighborhoods near the University of Iowa campus that contain higher levels of undergrad students, including but not limited to the North Side / Goosetown, College Hill, Melrose, and Miller Orchard neighborhoods. Changes in the university impact area are often attributable to a large-scale redevelopment projects in the Riverfront Crossings District, such as student housing or rental developments. In 2025, there was one multifamily building developed in the UIA for a total of 32 units added, and no residential permits were issued in the Riverfront Crossing District portion of the University Impact Area, and this insight is consistent with findings from the 2024 report as well. So as one can see, this map shows that there was minimal activity happening within the University Impact Area, especially within the Riverfront Crossings District in 2025. So as part of this analysis, we also looked at the city's vacant lot supply and how those properties may develop. A build-out analysis of the vacant lot supply estimates how long it would take for the current number of vacant buildable lots to be developed based on the 10-year averages and building permits issued per year. Several factors can improve the outlook, such as the construction of infrastructure for unimproved lots, but overall, this analysis is more important for the single-family and duplex development. So based on the 2025 data, it is anticipated that it would take 3 years to fully develop all buildable vacant single-family detached lots, 5.7 years for single-family attached, 4.7 for duplex, and 3.2 for multifamily lots. As noted previously, the single-family lots within this build-out analysis have been vacant for decades due to various site constraints. The anticipated build-out timeframe for vacant single-family lots stayed relatively stable compared to 2024 due to low building permit numbers. And then the duplex build-out timeframe decreased due to the lack of duplex lots created in 2025. So the residential vacant lots map shows that most of the vacant lots within city limits are primarily single-family residential or multifamily. So to determine if Iowa City's anticipated needs will be met, the city compares the number of permits recently issued to expected population growth. The population projection we are currently using is from the Comprehensive Plan Update, which projects that Iowa City's population will reach approximately 94,725 residents by 2050, and this suggests a demand for 9,100 units between 2025 and 2050. However, recent permit trends suggest the city will only see 7,850 new units developed within that timeframe. So as I previously mentioned, this accommodates just 86% of the projected housing demand, leaving a deficit of 1,250 units. However, the percent of demand satisfied has increased by 18% since the 2024 report, and this is most likely due to expanding the time horizon to the year 2050. So this projected deficit may encourage additional growth in nearby cities such as Tiffin or North Liberty, which have seen a proliferation of new residential development. This can negatively impact the city's environmental goals as homes are built further from employment centers and commuting distance, car dependence, and traffic congestion increases just as symptoms of that. In addition, an insufficient supply of housing can increase the cost of housing. When the supply cannot meet the demand for new dwellings, Iowa City will become less affordable. Consequently, it is important to continue encouraging residential growth in areas that have access to city services, such as in infill locations, as well as in the city's designated growth areas, which are anticipated to become part of the city in the future. We encourage you to keep these projections and the rest of this report in mind as we continue to review development projects and update the comprehensive plan. Does anyone have any questions?
So you mentioned the infill areas. Are those listed? Have those been taken into account as potentials in the numbers previously in the report, or are there areas that weren't mentioned?
You want to go back to the infill map? So we do look at vacant. We look at vacant lots that have infrastructure and can be developed, and then we also look at lots that were created that don't have infrastructure. So based on those infill lots, these are the vacant lots that Olivia is showing on the map. So these have infrastructure and can be developed. Some are newer than others. Some of these older ones that are kind of in the core of the community have been vacant for a really long time. So I think what we were trying to get across with one of our takeaways is that, yes, we have a number of vacant lots, and yes, it could produce a number of housing units. However, for several years, none of these have been developed because of site constraints, so it isn't necessarily reasonable to think that they're going to be developed anytime in the near future.
Mm-hmm. So how are, I mean, do you have ideas on how to address the deficit?
Yeah, there's a number of things. We kind of started with those zoning code amendments in 2023 to address housing supply and housing choice. Now we're working on our comprehensive plan update and really looking at where's the growth potential, updating our future land use map. After we update our comprehensive plan, we are going to be proposing some map amendments to our zoning map, where the future land use map of the comprehensive plan plan envisions, for example, multifamily, we want to propose those zoning map changes as opposed to leaving it up to the developer. You know, a lot of times process and timeline can be a deterrent for new growth. So if the city initiates that rezoning and it gets rezoned, the development process would be a lot smoother. We're also working on a parking study right now. The idea is that parking can be a barrier to residential development, and because it's expensive to build, and it, you know, over parking areas can also lead to kind of areas that are have, I guess how I want to say it, when you have development that, when you have buildings that front the street, parking in the rear, it can create a more kind of livable and vibrant environment. So those are the things that we're looking at right now.
The other thing I noticed was the ADUs, the increase, and I hope they're not on the, not all in the north end. Do you know where they are?
I had the addresses for them in the raw data that I gathered, but I don't have those off the top of my head specifically memorized. I'm not entirely sure where they would be, but it'd be interesting to see if they're clustered or spread out.
Right, yeah.
Anybody else have questions?
Just in line with what you were saying, sorry. The infill doesn't, there's no analysis in this report of kind of underutilized infill opportunities. Like they have an existing warehouse on it or something, and it's currently in a zone that supports multifamily or something like that's, any analysis like that where growth could happen, but it wouldn't show up in like your vacant lot.
Not for this. Yeah. We only are looking at vacant sites, but we did do a build-out analysis for the comprehensive plan update that's taking into consideration underutilized sites.
Cool.
So I have a plethora of questions, but I'll try to stick with one or two. Thank you for doing this and sharing this with us. I think it's fairly concerning when we think about the growth of our community from an economic perspective as well. And I heard you say there are some constraints such as site constraints, parking, and maybe the process for developers to actually be able to develop the property. So we're thinking about some rezoning. What can you give us some more specifics on what maybe we can do as a commission to be thinking about this? Because I feel like the longer we wait, we're kicking the can down the road. And I think this is really concerning for our community. So can you give some more specific ideas on how we might engage with the concerns that have been presented today? Like I think about right policies and ordinances and processes, and have we talked to the developers sort of largely and surveyed them to understand why it is that they're not choosing our community? And perhaps I heard you talk about our surrounding community. So can you just give some more information on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think when the comprehensive plan comes to you, this is definitely something you should be thinking about. Is the policy direction in that plan enough to accommodate the demand? I mean, yes, we've done the analysis that shows it would, but are there other things that we can be doing? Some of the action items in the plan can help with this. Like the one thing I didn't mention that will be coming after the comprehensive plan update is an overhaul of our zoning code. So we'll be looking at, you know, a number of different things that not all related to housing, but looking at potential barriers. So those are definitely things to be thinking about. And also, even when rezoning applications come to you, obviously your job is to kind of look at the, is it consistent with the comp plan? Is it consistent with the neighborhood? Those types of things. But I think it's also important to think about the need for housing and kind of the context of those rezonings. I guess the other thing I would say in terms of like talking with developers, we have heard, I think the areas, we've heard like general concerns about our regulations from developers. Parking is a very specific one that we've heard that we're working on right now. There are other things that we've heard like, our affordable housing annexation policy is a barrier to development. We've had one annexation, residential annexation, since that was adopted in 2018. We are the only jurisdiction in Iowa, I think, let alone the region, that requires, has a affordable housing requirement at the time of annexation. So if you're a local developer, it'd be much more easy to do a project in Coralville or Tiffin than annexing land in Iowa City. That's what we're hearing from the developers. We're also hearing things like sometimes our sensitive areas regulations can be a barrier.
So you talked about the comp plan, and I think you said zoning codes after that, mm-hmm. right? When will we have that, the comp plan, in order for us to do something? And then how long after that would the zoning code work start? So I'm thinking once again about, like, we don't have the luxury of time, it appears. And so can you give us you've shared with us a few times and I have forgotten. So can you share that with us again?
And the timeline has changed a bit. So we are hoping to have a draft out, I want to say next month. We have some public open houses and kind of pop-up events that we're planning for late summer, early fall. We have not marketed those yet or advertised those, but that information will be coming out. So we'll be sharing the draft with the community at that time. And then after that, we'll get some feedback from the community, make some revisions, and probably bring it to the commission for starting that conversation.
And do you expect that yet this calendar year for us to have that in front of us?
If not, if maybe December, I would say early 2027.
And then after we do that, then it would be a few months, and then we would start the zoning code work?
Yeah, I think we want to start it as soon as possible, but we do need to hire a consultant and go through the process of, you know, reviewing proposals and hiring a consultant and getting a contract, that type of thing.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I think of projects that we've approved that just are sitting there. Where do those appear in these numbers? And I'm thinking about, on Benton Hill, the old school that's just still sitting there. You know, projects like that.
That was part of the vacant lot analysis.
Okay.
So we included, I guess there's a building on it, but we're including it because we had a proposal for that, and it's been rezoned. So that was part of the analysis.
And both the building permit ones are, I guess, the one on Dodge and Governor, what was that called?
Oh, the Scarlet Point.
Scarlet Point is one that came through, and then also the Western Home one.
We are seeing building permits out at Western Homes. Hmm. So they have all the infrastructure in, I think, and there's homes that are constructed. We're reviewing a site plan now for that area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right, because it was this. I'm sorry, that was not building permits. It was final plat, right? That was presented with the Cardinal Point, not a building permit.
Yeah, I think for this analysis in 2025, there was one final plat for Western Homes. That's gone through a number of changes, so I think there were two final plats, and one of those was in 2025. And then Cardinal Point would have been prior. That would have been in 23 or 24's analysis.
Okay.
And still nothing for Forest View?
That land was sold, so the previous approvals, those developers are not moving forward with it, but we are reviewing a rezoning application now that will come to the commission hopefully soon.
Is that land part of this as land?
Can you go back to the vacant? There's no infrastructure out there, Billy. I don't think that
they've torn down a lot of
we did not include that in potential new development. So I mean, that's a possibility that isn't reflected
here.
Nice
area. Question, The Habitat homes, they have to get approval through the city, correct?
Yeah.
Are those homes that they build part of this?
So if they pulled their building permit in 2024, yeah, it would show up in the building permit data.
Okay.
Or sorry, 2025. Did I say 24? 2025. Yeah.
So I know they've done several homes this year.
Yeah.
And they're in the process of several homes. The other thing, the city, I understand, is doing some things, building.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Let's see. Can you go back to the vacant one? Vacant.
Granted, they're all rentals, but.
Okay. So this is that, the property that the city bought does show up on the vacant lot analysis. The city purchased a property on North Summit Street, yeah. Just south of the Hilltop Tavern.
Okay.
And we are currently working with an architect on a design of that building, but it will be multifamily.
And that's rental.
It will be rental. It will be affordable.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about affordable another time, but yeah.
And a good question. So Carson Farms services got extended underneath the interstate for that, but really hasn't had any activity since. Anything new with Carson Farms? Because that was going to be kind of the up and coming within the city boundaries. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's really not much for large parcels remaining. So we're really kind of. Is going to involve some annexations for the city to really grow at any kind of scale, especially to the east. Are the city services are kind of really ready for that growth on that side, or does that also present a barrier for?
Yeah,
I think that's.
Thank you.
Kind of water, sewer, all the services being ready to connect to.
So for the Carson Farms area, which is south of Rarit Road and west of 218, the trunk line that is under 218 will serve a portion of that area, but not the whole area. The way the topography works there, some of the sewer lines will have to come from the south, and some of it will be serviced by that new trunk line. But we hope to be receiving a development proposal for that area and an annexation. I think the one area that we know is making more progress is the land west of Weatherby Park in the South District.
Right.
You guys saw the rezoning and the preliminary plat. Mm-hmm. They did apply for a final plat for phase one. So that should be going to council soon. And then after that, they'll start putting in some streets and utilities, and then hopefully they'll be pulling permits for new construction.
Okay. Any further questions?
Can you remind me, we had that spike in 2023. Is that the multifamily across from Danesdary? There's the dwelling unit chart that we had a lot come in on 2023. And then we were back down in 24 and 25.
This 26, yeah, 2023.
That one?
This one?
Yeah. Was that the rise or?
Are you asking why 2023 was so high?
Right. What's the anomaly otherwise?
Yeah, so I'm guessing it was Riverside? Myrtle and Riverside?
That's what I was thinking too.
Okay.
Because otherwise, like, I don't know, if that's counted in the average, it's skewing our average a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, look at some of the numbers from 2015, 16, 17, 18.
Right, but then 20 on, we've kind of been rough.
There were a lot more single family homes during that time.
Yeah, there were.
Just that big surge in multifamily. Mm-hmm.
Additionally, the entire deep red portion of 2024 is the entire Western Homes GPD development. So that's all from that development.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Olivia. Very interesting. And I agree, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me present.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make sure there are no more questions. Were you good?
One more question. Is this information presented to the council or just to us?
Just to the commission, and then we include it in their info packet so they get a copy of the report.
They do. Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to sneak one more in. Sorry. Mm-hmm. The parking, I understand like multifamily, how that can kind of be an impact or such, but a single family, does the parking requirements have an impact to those developments that is requiring additional? I mean, everything seems to be three-stall garage for the most part now, so.
Yeah, it's not really an issue. Our parking ratios are not an issue for new single family. It's typically, you know, rental single family homes where they want to add a bedroom or something. And to add a bedroom, you need to add a parking space, and there's no room on site to add parking.
Thank you. A consideration of meeting minutes from July 1st. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to approve it.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous there. Planning and zoning information?
I don't have any. I guess I will mention, since you're talking about parking, we had a steering committee meeting on the parking study today with our steering committee. And our consultants went through the analysis that they did. We have a draft report. But it's really interesting, and we will be sharing more with the commission. Obviously, as we move forward, we will be getting into some zoning code recommendations and changes. But they did an extensive amount of on-the-ground surveys to look at, okay, what is the city's parking ratio? What is the parking ratio requirement? What is the existing demand? And then what is the supply? And so kind of looking at in a variety of different areas of the city, are we overparked? Are we underparked? And for the most part, we're overparked. So,
what does overparked mean?
There's way more supply than there is demand. The one exception was Big Grove. The only exception was Big Grove.
Kimball Road.
No, they got enough parking on Kimball Road.
It's none.
Thank you, Anne. Do we have a motion for an adjournment?
Can I ask one question before we adjourn? I'm seeing more variance signs as signs going up. What exactly are those about?
There was a recent change in state law that changed the variance process. So now there's a different type of variance that we have to consider, and we've been getting a lot of applications for that.
So what?
So these are dimensional or area variances, which is essentially a request to change a numerical standard, like a setback. We had a height. We have a height one on next week. So
I was concerned about was the one on Kimball Road where there's no place to go.
That was a request to reduce the lot width.
Okay. I just couldn't see how they're going to do anything.
Yeah.
And those are Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, those are Board of Adjustment.
Okay.
Hearings.
I was just concerned. That's my neighborhood, and I hadn't seen those signs before, and I was wondering what the deal was. Okay. I move.
All right. Townsend moves. Atkins second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Another unanimous vote there. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.